We're doing the Drashot Aran, we're beginning the ninth speech, and this speech focuses on Vayet Hanan, Moshe's prayer. Remember, Moshe wants to enter the land of Israel, and God says no. And then Moshe starts praying, until finally God tells him, stop, no more praying, you're not going in. Stop praying. Vayet Hanan el Hashem Beit Eilimo. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying at that time, and he says the following, Hashem, please, you began showing me your greatness. Let me go into the land of Israel. And God says, stop asking. Mi sheyirtze la'asher eze adam sheheva bedavar ma. If someone wants to help someone, let's say a parent wants to help a child, and he wants him to straighten out something that he's done wrong. So you guys are going to have this as parents. Ye'asher oto b'shnei drachim. There are two ways to straighten out someone. Echad mehem sheyodienu meuvato v'yochichenu aleha leval yashuv lechisla. One way, which is important, is to tell him what he did wrong, to rebuke him, so that he doesn't do it again. Ki kol zman she'alim enav mechatato asher chata, yivshar sheyashuv mimena. So long as you ignore it, the guy will never return. He'll never do better. Kmo achole she'alim enav mecholyo, yivshar sheyitraper. You have people who are sick, and sometimes they ignore their illness. They're never going to get better. I've often told the story of the nurse here in Shaarei Tzedek who wasn't feeling well, and she went and got tested, and then she never opened the envelope. She didn't want to know the results of the test until her friend saw the envelope on her table and said to her, what is that? And she says, I did a test. And she says, what does it say? And she says, I haven't opened it. And her friend said, I'm not leaving the station until you open it. And then she opened it and discovered she had cancer. And her friend saved her life because she insisted, you got to open that letter. So if we're not going to open our eyes, and sometimes we need someone else to open our eyes, you're never going to do better, right? I've often said the story about how I was robbed. Yeah, you guys don't remember? Okay. It was late afternoon. And there was a family where someone was ill, and we were collecting money for the family. And someone knocks on the door and gives me like 1,500 shekel. And I don't like having money that I haven't labeled, so I leave it on the table so I could get it labeled. I had to know where that money was designated for, right? So the money's on the table, and there's a knock on the door. And Machon Meir, in those days, guys used to come like once every 2-3 weeks to learn at our house, right? Now you remember the story? Okay, so I run to the kitchen. I put down the money in the kitchen. I run back. I open the door. The guys come in. We sit down and learn. The guys leave. I go back to the kitchen. The money's gone. So I called Rav Lisna and asked him, what are we supposed to do? There was one guy who went to the bathroom and then went and washed his hands in the kitchen. So, you know, it's pretty obvious who took the money. We didn't know what to do. And then about 2 hours later, I discovered it in a drawer. I hadn't remembered I had put it in a drawer in the kitchen. I hadn't left it out on the kitchen table. I was wrong. So I call back Rav Listman and I say, hey, the guy's okay. My mistake. And I'm about to hang up. And Rav Listman says, Netanel, what do we learn from this? And I said, I don't know. I thought he'd tell me, don't suspect people or I don't know. He says to me, we learn from this when you have money in your hand. You don't stop till you put it in an envelope and label it. You don't say, I'm going to get to it. You label it. Don't leave money lying around. He's right. If he wouldn't have pointed it out to me, I would have never realized that. You know, I could have made the same mistake 15 times again. He's 100% right. So the guys will wait at the door another minute. Fine. But I'll do that labeling. It's so important. I try to label it. That's why I didn't put it away. But he said, no, don't leave it around. So that's what the Ran is saying. You know, as a parent or as someone who cares for someone else, sometimes it's right to point out to them. That's why King David said, peace be upon him. King David says, I know what I've done wrong. I'm always thinking about my sin because I'm trying to get it right. So that's one way. If you want to help your kid get it right, you got to tell him, look, why'd you fail the test? So the kid will say, because I didn't study. And you'll say, well, maybe, but maybe because you kept postponing studying for the test until you were too tired. And then the next morning you didn't have time. It's not just because you didn't study. It's because when I told you 2 days ago, you know, you have that big test coming up, you weren't willing to study then. You kept pushing it off. So very often someone else can point out to us what we did wrong and we don't always notice it. What's the classical example? Why do we all wake up late? Because we go to sleep late. What do we think we get up late? Because we don't have a good enough alarm clock. We go and buy another alarm clock. We don't go to sleep earlier. That's okay, right? Sometimes you want to help someone get it right, you got to point out to them what's wrong. So that's one way. Haderech hashenihu, the second way is, sheyodienu shumuhan lasig ma'ala gdola, shim kol ma sheheva wahu v'nirtzat al mi sheyotze lakrivo elav. You tell a person that he is capable of great things. Even though he's done something wrong, you love him. You tell him he has great potential. And they're both different tools. Meaning, let's think of an example for that. Okay, let's say your son comes home and he gets a 50. And you know that he could have gotten 100. He just didn't study. So we said one way is to tell him, you postponed studying. The second way is to tell him, you got a great mind and you were focused in class. And I know you could get 100. And I know that next time, you can get even better than 100. You can ace this test. When we studied it, you knew it. Next time you'll start studying earlier and you'll ace the test. So you kept pointing out the positive and you brought him to the same location where he can fix it by strengthening the positive. We find when Moshe is rebuking the people of Israel, he does both. He begins by telling them what they did wrong. He begins by saying, hey, let's review our history. We've had 40 years together. Look at where we fell. Look at what we did wrong. That's, if you read through Parshas Devarim in the very beginning, that's what Moshe is doing, right? The book of Devarim, what do they call it in English? Deuteronomy, right? Yeah. The book of Deuteronomy begins with a listing. This is where we camped. Really, in each place, he's saying, this is where we messed up. Now, what's the problem with that? That if you point out to a person, you know, you did this wrong, that wrong, another thing, a person says, that's it, I'm a goner, I'm finished, I can't do any better. Okay, I'm a bum. That's always the danger. And that's the worst thing. Then you have no one to deal with. As an educator, you got to give the person the feeling, I am worthwhile. I can do better. If the person feels I can't do better, it's finished. There's no one to talk to. Then goodbye. Might as well. It's a very big challenge, by the way, because it's very tempting to show a person a cycle in life. It's very tempting to show a person, every time you ended up doing ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, you ended up overextending yourself, you ended investing in things you knew nothing about and destroying any money you had, you ended going into debt, it's tempting to show a person, it's a cycle you keep repeating, and sometimes you feel like it's necessary to show the person that. On the other hand, you run the risk, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is running the risk here, and he has to deal with it. The guy has to have strength to come out of it and be powerful, forceful, and move forward. How do you do that? I told you guys the story about the pilot. No? Okay. We get a phone call one evening, and my wife answers the phone. And after about 30 seconds, I hear the guy yelling at my wife. And after about 20 seconds, she says, someone wants to talk to you. I ask her, do we know this person? Like, I hear him yelling at my wife. She says, no, I don't know who he is. So I answer the phone, and he tells me, look, I was hitching a ride, and someone gave me your number. I don't know why your wife is so difficult to deal with. This is my first conversation with the guy. Yes. And
you like to buy some life insurance.
No, it goes better. He says, I hitched a ride, someone gave me your number, and I want you to set me up with girls. Right. My wife was telling him, I'm not sure my husband can come to the phone. I'll check with him. And that was like anathema to him. Someone's telling him, I'm not sure if he can talk to you right now. So he's super upset because someone dared tell him, give me a second, I'm going to find out. And I don't know who this guy is, and I'm not too happy with this friend of mine who gave him my number. But, I said, you know, if you want, okay, I'll take down your information. We'll see if there's anything relevant, okay? I take down his information, and throughout the conversation, he's very curt and short-tempered, and 2 weeks pass, and he calls me up and says, why didn't you set me up with anyone? And he's like, very adamant. So I said to him, you know, I don't see anyone that's worthy. Okay, this goes on for about a half a year. Every few weeks he calls me up, and he's at one point he calls me up and he's broken. And he tells me, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to get married, and it's not working out with any girls, and you haven't set me up with anyone. And I said to myself at that moment, I said, you know, he's a little broken. This is the time. If ever there's a time to talk to him, this is the time to talk to him, that he has to learn to be more gentle with people. You can't talk to people that way. So I caught my breath for a second, and I'm praying I should get this right. And I tell the guy, you know, I have to tell you, when you described yourself to me, I was very impressed. I heard all your accomplishments and all your talents. And I think that you can, you know, with the right partner, you can really build a great family. But I think one of the tools you need to develop in order to actually succeed in doing this is to work on going slower with people. You know, people aren't always prepared. You're coming in with all these strengths, and people aren't necessarily up to par, and you come in with demands. And if you think about being more patient with people, so that would allow people to recognize your strengths more easily. And I'm trying to like put it to him as gently as possible. I don't want to tell him, look, you're arrogant and you got a bad temper, etc. That's not going to get him anywhere. So I'm gently trying to describe this to him, and he buys it. He ends the conversation and says, you know, I really appreciate it. You gave me a lot to think about. Okay. I forgot to mention that he called me, he gave me a nickname. Like, I answer the phone, he asks, is Nati there? I said, this is Netanel Frankenthal. So he says, Nati, thank you for coming to the phone. That's so nice, you know. Who gave him a right to give me a nickname? Okay. But that's all part of the baggage, right? But gently, softly, I tried talking to the guy. And you know what? I never set him up with anyone. There was one time that a girl called and said what she's looking for, and she never mentioned good traits. You know, she never mentioned he has to be kind or gentle. And I kept trying to ask her, wait, I kept trying to ask her, you know, is this important to you? Is that important to you? And she keeps stressing, no, I want him to be accomplished. I want him to be a man who knows what he wants out of life. And she's like, and I keep trying to say, you know, is it important to you that he be nice? And at the end, as much as I'm trying, she's saying no. So I decided, you know what? If it's not important to her, it's not like I'm tricking her. She'll see on the first date what type of guy he is. He's not hiding it. I said, if it's not her, then no one. So I said, you know, there's this guy who I never met. I don't really know him well. But maybe it's worth looking into because he matches a lot of your description. I don't know him well. I can't recommend him. But I can tell you that according to your description and his description himself, and I start describing and guide her. And she says, that sounds great. And then I tell her the name. And she says, oh, he gave me your number. She said, I dated him. And he's perfect. She says, that's what I'm looking for. He told me no. So, okay, fine, you know. Okay, I didn't do that one, you know, fine. You know, in Hebrew they have a saying, every pot has its cover, you know. Okay, fine, what am I supposed to do? I was happy I didn't deal with that shidduch, but about a year and a half later, he calls me up, and he says to me, I'm sitting in the car with the girl I just got engaged, and I want you to know it was your conversation that got me here. Give me your address, I want to send you an invitation. I never got an invitation, thank God, and I wish him well. But it was interesting that he called me up the day he got engaged. He did recognize that, I don't know what he did with himself in that year and a half, I don't know. The Ran says you want to deal with a person, you got to do two things. There are two tools to helping a person see what's wrong. Number one, pointing out what's wrong. Number two, giving him the strength to stand up to it. Those are two different tools. One is pointing out, stressing, this is what's wrong. Number two is stressing the strength of a person, his capacity to deal and move forward. Says the Ran, Moshe Rabbeinu on the one hand tells them, look, this is what you did wrong. On the other hand, he goes back and tells them, but God loves you. You're great. He didn't want, I skipped a line. He didn't want them to be weakened, and they should say, they shouldn't say, I can't connect to God after everything I did. It's over. There's no relationship here. So that's why in the very parish of Tvarim, Moshe tells the people, Moshe tells them, God loves you, and guess what? He loves you more than me. He says, look at me. I accomplished Torah, knowledge, prophecy, but God loves you even more. He's showing them. He's pointing this out to them. He's telling them, he says, look at what happened. I spoke to the people of Israel, and I was a little bit lax in the honor of the people of Israel. Even though at that moment the people of Israel sinned. They asked for water, but they asked improperly, and they were taunting Moshe. And for a split second, Moshe spoke to the people of Israel improperly. For a split second, he was a little bit lax in their honor. God says, I'm not forgiving you. This is how you spoke to the people of Israel. You are not forgiven. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people of Israel, yes, you've done wrong, but look at how God cherishes you. If I've done the slightest thing against you, God's not willing to let me go into the Israel. He's not willing to forgive me. Look at how He stands up for you. That's why Moshe tells the people, Vayitaber Hashem bi lema'anchem. God was upset at me. On your behalf, Moshe tells the people of Israel, Velo shama elai. God was unrelenting. He wasn't willing to accept my prayer. And if you look back to the parsha of Dvarim, Moshe says, Gambi hitanaf Hashem biglalchem lemo. God got upset at me because of you. God said to me, you ain't going into the land of Israel. His point, as he's telling the Jewish people, is look at how God cherishes you. Look at your relationship. Now, if you look at these two verses, you might think they're saying the same idea. Says the Ran, they're not. And that's where we'll pick up Ezachim next time, where the Ran develops this idea. What was Moshe actually telling the people in these two lines? So we began with Moshe's prayer, begging Hashem to come back. The Ran then developed two ways in which one can reprimand someone, and they're both important. And then the Ran said Moshe elicited these two tools in his rebuke of the Jewish people. He both pointed out to them what they did wrong and strengthened them, showed them the strength of their relationship with Hashem. I would just conclude with saying that we need to do both things with ourselves. When we take ourselves to task, we need to also remember how important we are in God's planet and God's plan and the great plan that God has for each of us. We each have an important mission to accomplish in this world. And we're only going to get there if we can remain positive with ourselves. If we can work out of a positive self-image. From there, you can grow. If all you can do is look and say, I've done A and B and C wrong, you can't grow. I don't want to go over time. This thought needs more development. Remind me next week, we have to begin with this. This idea of maintaining a positive self-image.